Well, good morning again, George Hallford, with a show that's unlike any other that we do here on Local Matters. We talk about the who. We share with you people in this region, this community, this county who make up our community, who come from all walks of life and contribute to what makes us great and contribute to the tapestry. Today, I'm very pleased. We're pleased to have Ed Bray, race car guy, veteran, and didn't have a chance to talk a lot with him before, but I'm excited about what you're about to share with us, Ed. So welcome to the show.
I appreciate it very much.
And I told you offline, this show is a little bit different. It's almost a spiritual show. It's a family show, and we do what Billy Graham did. We start with birth. We go through your childhood. We go through growing up. We go through things that mean what's your passions, what your family, your faith. And then we're going into today, and then we look in the crystal ball for tomorrow. So literally, it started at birth. Who is Ed Bray, and where'd you come from, Ed?
I was born in Orlando, Florida.
Okay.
From there, my dad joined the military.
Okay.
So we went to Germany for the first time, to Stuttgart, and then...
Stuttgart, sure.
Yeah. I was a youngster, so I didn't really pay attention to being in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
We then came back to the States. He was at Fort Benning, Georgia.
Sure.
And then he got orders to go back to Germany, to Heidelberg.
Mm-hmm.
And so we followed him there, and we were there for like eight years, from 80 to 88.
Okay.
And that's basically where I grew up from. I was in ROTC and a little bit in middle school and the rest of it in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got stationed at Fort Eustis in Newport News, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
He got orders that he was going to be promoted to first sergeant, but he decided to retire after he found out he was being sent to Korea 1 year unaccompanied.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't want to be away from the family, so he retired.
I see. Okay.
I joined up a month later. That would have been 92.
Okay.
So I went back to Germany, the Bitburg Air Base, mm-hmm. with the Patriot units there.
Mm-hmm.
Bitburg was closing a little bit after I got there, so they sent me to Fort Bragg.
Fort Bragg, sure.
So I had gotten injured when I was in Germany, and mm-hmm. I transferred over to Fort Bragg, where I had to have reconstructive surgery on my elbow twice.
Okay.
Which then pretty much killed my future with the military.
Sure.
They told me that I had two options. I could re-enlist, pick my own duty station, but I would never see my E6. Or they pay me to get out.
I see. Okay.
So I got out.
Got out, yeah.
I went to the VA, put my claim in, so got my disability from there. And then it was trying to decide where I was going after that. I thought I was going to go into law enforcement, but that didn't happen. So I got into HVAC.
Mm-hmm.
Worked my way up quickly into management.
Mm-hmm.
Things sort of fell through with that company.
Mm-hmm.
And now I was trying to figure out where I was going from there.
Sure.
So I found out about Afghanistan, you know, being a contractor. So this is my way of giving back to the military that, you know, what I was trying to give with me serving.
Sure.
So
sure.
I went over there with KBR at first,
mm-hmm.
as a quality inspector. I traveled around to all the special forces FOBs, got to know the groups, all the guys really, really well. Then DICOR took over.
Mm-hmm.
So when they took over, they made me a site manager.
Okay.
So I was actually transitioning some sites. My dad was fighting cancer, mm-hmm. while I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the Red Cross message that I needed to come back. He wasn't doing very well.
When was that, Ian?
That was May 2010.
Okay, sure.
He actually passed on the 21st.
Oh,
I didn't.
Okay.
It took 3 days for them to get me out of a FOB.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting in Dubai Airport at the Irish pub, having some food, having a little bit of drink, and I just knew that I didn't make it.
Yeah.
But I had come back on R&R a couple times, took him to Daytona Bike Week.
You know, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got my riding skills from him. So I have some great memories, you know, before he passed, but I beat myself up for a few years because
I didn't
come back when I said I should have.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't grieve that long. I went back to work. I went back to my employees. I just couldn't get back into the groove. So I put my notice in, and they gave me 30 days, mm-hmm. you know, to travel somewhere, take your time. But I didn't go back.
Okay.
So I took a year off.
Good, good.
So I did eventually go back mm-hmm. for another 2 years because they called me up.
Mm-hmm.
Found out that 2 days after I was supposed to come back the first time that my office container was hit by an RPG.
Wow.
And so somebody was looking out.
We know who, too.
Exactly. So there was a couple other incidents that, you know, that I had. So I've used up my three lives.
Yeah.
So it was time to finally come home.
Okay.
So, yeah.
How did you discover this region, this community? You've lived all over the world, and you've a lot in Europe, and you have had an experience that most people don't get a chance to do with your military and post-military. So how did you discover us?
Well, my parents, you know, they were living in Charleston, South Carolina, so I went back after my Afghanistan. And I got a call from, at that time, it was SAIC. Offering mm-hmm. me a job as a quality analyst mm-hmm. with them. Now, that's with the FEMA and Homeland Security Training Center down in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I really don't want to go to Alabama. But they said that SAIC had a building here in Cookeville.
Yes, yes.
So
SAIC got you here.
Yep, sure
did. That's great. Yeah, yeah. We were very fortunate to get them a few years ago. It's been 5 years or more, probably could be longer than that because we were. Yeah, yeah, it has been longer than that. Well, that's great.
Because I think they had just started probably a couple of years maybe before I came on board.
Yeah,
but I came to Cookeville and we looked around. And I'm like, this is a great riding area in each direction.
Oh, this is it.
Man. I was like, I accept the job. We're coming.
This is it. Family, children, wife.
Yeah, I got a wife. We dated in high school back in the 80s.
Okay.
She's probably, when she hears this, she's probably going to, not like me, but she did break up with me in high school. She left when her dad got stationed back. I was on my way out, so we lost touch.
Sure.
We sort of started talking because I was doing iRacing for 6 years because NASCAR did that with COVID. And I shared a picture, and with the simulator, it actually looks like the real thing. So she thought I was actually in a wreck. So she reached out and asked, hey, you know, are you okay? You know,
sure.
I was like, it's a simulator. You know, so next thing you know, she came to visit and stayed.
There you go.
So she followed me here.
Yeah.
We moved my mother here.
Oh, that's great.
And eventually we got my sister and my brother-in-law here.
Okay, well, that's great.
The only one that hasn't moved yet is my brother and his two boys.
And you'll get, sooner or later.
Sooner or later, they'll probably move here.
So you're a native now.
Pretty much.
Not a native, but you're like me. You're dyed in the wool.
Yeah, we put our roots in Cookeville for sure.
Man, that is great. So you've had you've had a career, and we could spend hours or days talking about Afghanistan.
A lot of stories.
Your experiences. But we got a couple of minutes left. Anything you want to share? Are the reports, you know, you're hearing all this, the politics of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a tough world out there. It's a big world. And this Afghanistan thing has been we really wanted to withdraw eventually. We did not necessarily want to withdraw
that quickly,
the way like we did, but anything that stands to you for your service in Afghanistan or anywhere else.
I got to know a lot of lot of the Special Forces guys, 82nd guys, I knew, became friends with all of them and lost some of them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So when it came on the news that we pulled out that quick, it was like a slap in the face of everybody.
Yeah, lost 13. And, yeah, I'm probably talking politically, but I don't mean, but it's just a sad chapter in our.
Absolutely.
In our obsession. I told you I wasn't going to talk, and I promise you not much, but I was 8 years in Clarksville before here. So you had the 101st, 260th, 160th. But anyway, you're talking about heroes. The Special Forces, they had to be anywhere in the world in 36 hours.
Yes.
You know
great,
that. You know,
great guys, too.
Oh, and then, they, of course, the generals got promoted to Bragg. That's where Petraeus, I could start naming names. All these great generals came through and went on to do. General Keane was there when I first got there, former vice chairman, Joint Chiefs of Staff, turned it down. Anyway, I'm starting to get, but I share, man, the military and what we do, and it's great. So you served with the best.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was, I got phone calls after that went down with them pulling everybody out, and they were like, what's going on? I mean, they were upset. They were crying. They were, because basically it was for nothing.
And think about the, again, I'm really not going to turn this into a political thing, but just think about the loyal Afghans that served with our team for years, and how.
I had 100 Afghans that worked for me.
Yeah. And so how they were basically, what happened to them? I just said, you know, this is a tip of the spear, tip of the iceberg. We're going to come back in just a few moments. George Hofford, Ed Bray, stay tuned. Well, George Hofford back with Ed Bray, and we're just really going to get into the meat now. Ed's a genuine American hero, veteran, and things he's doing post service and been doing is family, military family. You said your dad, so
yes, sir.
He's what we're all about here in this region. So, Ed, again, welcome. Let's pick up where we left off and talk about. We were talking about Afghanistan. We were talking about your service. You're talking about friends and people you lost and memories. Just anything you want to share during your tenure, and then we'll talk about what you're doing today.
Yeah, it was just hard with the pullout so quick like they did, because it was with the phone calls I was getting from buddies was that they felt the same way I did, that it was for granted.
Yeah,
Our buddies died for nothing.
13, more than that, counting.
More than that.
More than
that,
with 13 soldiers.
Yeah.
And it was a stain in our chapter. I know that every president, the last few presidents, has known, the day will come when we've got planned some type of there will be some type of an exit, but not
that quick.
Not that sudden and pulling soldiers. I mean, the way we didn't pull, we didn't do it in an orderly, planned.
I mean, we left everything.
We left 80, what? I've got how many billions or millions of new equipment?
Equipment, facilities, money that was to be paid to the Afghan army and Afghan police and all that, and the Taliban took it all.
So you were, man, you there. You saw it. You experienced it. And it's but we revitalize. We go back and proud of where we're going today.
Yes.
And but it's a journey. Now let's talk about today. What you're doing, or anything else you want to mention during that era. Anything you want to talk about before we go to now? And what you're doing now?
Not really. I mean, it's just still keeping in touch with my buddies. That I met over there, and making sure that they're still okay.
Yeah.
That they're still hanging on. There's a couple that I've not been able to reach out to. I'm a little concerned.
Sure.
Some of the other guys that do know them, they're concerned as well. So it's still trying to find out where they're at.
I tell you what I've learned and then relearned. Post-traumatic stress syndrome is real.
Yes.
Absolutely real. We've got friends that who served who've experienced that. And can you imagine? Well, you did it. Mm-hmm. You're in the heat of everything, and one day you just trade your uniform for civvies, and you're just back in the world again as though nothing had ever happened. That has got to be one of the hardest transitions I can imagine.
It's tough. I mean, when I first got over there to Kandahar Air Force Base, the Taliban were shooting old Russian rockets into the camp.
Good Lord.
They were pretty much duds because the explosives have been, deteriorated and all. But when you're going through that on a daily basis during the day, during the evening time, my first R&R was tough. I got back and was in Walmart, and somebody dropped something. I hit the floor, and everybody looked at me like there was something wrong with me.
Yeah, yeah.
And so just with the time over there. Small arms fire, the rockets. I mean, it took some time, even after I left, even to watch fireworks.
Anything just snaps.
Watching something about Afghanistan on TV.
Boom.
Yeah. I'm right back there.
Yeah.
My wife is like, hey. And she'd been trying to call me for like 2 minutes, and I'm just in that zone.
Yeah.
So she's helped me out a lot, and along with other veterans that.
So it's real, and we need to take care of our veterans and do more.
Absolutely.
And understand that this is real.
Yeah.
I know. We're not going to go this far back, but I can't. As my generation, I can't imagine the Vietnam War in these soldiers who want. I was watching a thing the other night on PBS. One minute there and. They're in high school. The next minute, they're on the front line in Vietnam, and they're over there. And that has been absolutely awful.
Oh, absolutely.
The post-traumatic stress thing. All right, let's go to let's talk about what you're doing now and who you are. You share with me offline, but let's talk a little bit about who you are today.
Well, I'm still working as a quality analyst for now. It's for BAE for. Mm-hmm. FEMA and Homeland Security Training Center down in Alabama.
Okay.
I'm part of the American Legion, Post 135.
Yeah.
I just got done doing 2 years as a commander there.
Woo. Okay, great.
But I got into racing with my uncle, coming to my house and spending the weekend, and I found myself racing again. So I had met some other posts. But Post 207, the commander, which is in Spencer, had reached out asking if I would be the ambassador for the American Legion and trying to get awareness, from local, from local community. And I said, yeah, well, then the Be the One came about. And so now that's the fight against veteran suicide, making awareness.
Woo.
Teaching not only other veterans, but family members, the community, how to talk to that veteran. It's the start of the conversation. How are you?
Yeah.
And then listen. So that sort of kicked off a little bit for me. So with racing.
You use that as a vehicle.
Yes. It's now called the Motor with a Mission.
Motor with a Mission. Okay. Yeah, I don't know if we really got into that early on like I should have, but You're motorcycles. You have a car, a legend's car.
I said there.
You might talk about that.
I got a 19 CVO Road Glide that I've been trying to ride as much as I can. But getting back with the racing and the mission, the Be the One mission, it's been tough. I mean, the wife has been like, "Hey, when are we going riding?" Like as soon as we get a break.
Well, this is riding country.
Exactly. I mean, it's perfect.
We talked offline. We had first we had Run for the Wall.
Yes.
Come from California to Memorial. The only group that's allowed in Arlington, my motorcycle group, is the Run for the Wall. Group.
Exactly.
So it's a huge, and we've shared that. And then of course, the hog rallies here.
Yep.
And we've had veterans, the rides and It's been a wonderful experience how we have experienced that.
The community embraces them. I mean, they love the writers.
We had one of the largest chapters, really, in the country at one time from during the hog rally days, and it was really a great time. It's still a great time.
Oh yeah, I mean, I hadn't been riding with the hog chapter here locally, you know, due to all the racing and my community stuff.
Yeah,
I'm real busy, and so, but I'm trying to get back to it, trying to get back and do some rides with them.
Talk about your that's the motorcycle, the cycle, Ian. Now talk about your Legends car and what you do with it and what it is and how you're involved.
So with the Legends series race car, it's a coupe with a Yamaha FZ09 motor in it. It's a motorcycle motor. It's planted sideways. So along with racing at Nashville and Huntsville, and I'm trying to get to the rim this year, I actually use that. It's actually be the one motor with the mission. It's to go around and educate the community and other veterans.
I see. Okay.
Against veteran suicide and how they can help.
Yeah. So you're out, man. You're going all the time to
flat
events
out.
and very visible and using that as a. I think we're about out of time. Whoops, I really got into that and didn't pay attention. We'll be back in just a moment with part three. George Alford back with Ed Bray, and a really important topic that we're going to spend a little time with during this segment. And then talk about the future and the crystal ball. But we were talking offline. There's rarely a family in this country that hasn't been affected or knows a friend or someone who is involved in suicide.
Exactly.
How do we? And there are signs, and there's prevention, and there's ways. So let's pick up with your duties. What do you do, and how do you do it? And some of the things that the public needs to know, how we can all be supporters and involved in this national crisis, especially among veterans.
Exactly. With the Legend Race car, with the motor, with the mission, like I said, I get it out in the community. I try to educate the community and other veterans on how to talk to that veteran.
Yes.
You know, and this can be, you know, done in the civilian world as well. But with the veterans, it's asking, how are you?
Just simple, how are you?
How are you? From there, the key thing is listening.
Yes.
Because then if you're listening instead of trying to, you know, talk while they're talking, you're going to miss some of those signs. So, like, the American Legion is teamed up with the Columbia Protocol. Mm-hmm. So they've actually come up with, you know, with questions you can ask to that veteran. And depending on the answer of that veteran depends on what's the next question.
Next.
What stage? Are they still in the yellow? Are they still in the red? Is this the time that they need to call 988?
988.
You know, and then you press 1. But what you want to do is you want to call them from their phone. Because that hotline has their information, not your information. And so from there, it's just, you know, trying to, you know, just keeping everybody educated. So I'm out at car shows. I'm out at other posts, other community events. I was invited next Friday to the Technical College in Murfreesboro.
That's great.
To have the car.
That's great.
And so I've got a dozen American Legion posts that help sponsor, which helps me get around Tennessee in those community events. But then I've also got major sponsors as well, like Trackside Veteran Salute Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
They saw what I was doing. I saw what they were doing. They actually pick from nominated veterans for racing experiences. They fly veterans to NASCAR races. First class flights, first class hotels. And that was amazing. Well, they saw what I was doing, so they wanted to partner up. So now they're my major sponsor. We just did a veteran experience down in Atlanta Motorsports Park.
Wow.
Six veterans. I was one of them that they wanted to honor. Two Purple Heart recipients.
Yeah,
and not only are you getting the racing experience, but you're able to sit down and talk to each other. And
it's, for, it's people, it's community.
Exactly.
It's what we are, have lost
mm-hmm.
in this country. We're losing. I mean, used to, we, you know, what binds us together is what we're doing right now.
Exactly.
It's so talking about community and how can I help you. And
yeah, so just know, put that
sitting around people to open up.
Yeah. And that's what everybody did. I mean, everybody opened up what their experiences, you know, just like Vietnam. These guys are Vietnam. Two of them are from Vietnam era. And one of them, they sit there and thought was dead. They put him in a body bag. And they were getting ready to bomb him. And
he moved.
He moved.
Wow. That's good. Good move.
Yeah.
Right?
Now, that was a story that just floored all of us. But at the end of the 3 days, we all became closer brothers.
Oh, sure.
Lifelong memories of what we did there with the experience. But now we're sitting there and keeping in touch with each other. I got one of the guys that he and I just clicked. We're lifetime brothers.
They're great. They're great.
And we've got all veterans, we have each other's six. If you need to talk to somebody, we're there. All you have to do is call.
You know, as you were talking, I go back. My granddad, and he was my hero. He was World War One, front line, Baston. You know, anyway, the point I'm making is, like so many veterans, my granddad was a hero that I learned more about him after he passed away because he didn't talk about it.
Exactly.
And I would guess the veteran's experience is just so unique type that it's a difficult, challenging group to reach because they just go back home, go to work, family, church, and mm-hmm. then you find out that that guy working with you was a Purple Heart, but they don't talk about it. So it's hard to share or to get information when they are internalizing it.
Yeah.
Is that it in a nutshell?
Oh yeah, I've actually talked to families that they didn't know anything about their what they did in the service.
No, they just didn't talk.
They didn't talk about it. They didn't want to talk about it. So when it comes time for that veteran to pass away, and is asking what they did, the family's
really
like, we don't know. So they normally will talk to other veterans.
Yeah.
Hopefully. But where that conversation,
somewhere,
how are you?
Yeah, and as you were, I told you I wasn't going to talk, and I told you a story. But I've got a brother-in-law that was a medic during Vietnam. And he is the prototype of a great guy, family man, church, retired now. But he didn't talk about it, but he mm-hmm. can you imagine being a medic on the front line, what you saw every day?
No.
He's yet to have a conversation with me after almost 50 years. It's just, it's in their DNA, and it's a challenge to reach those people unless you really have a plan like you have and what you're doing.
Yeah, they lock it up in that box.
Yeah.
And they put that box in a corner. And it takes a lot to get them to pull the box out.
Yes.
And actually share what's in the box. Now, with, you know, like I said, with Trackside Veteran Salute Foundation, that helps that out. Because there was tears. There was,
oh, sure.
you know, all that with everything that we were talking about. I mean, I even got teary-eyed with
sure.
everything.
Emotions that have not been touched for decades.
Exactly.
And so, I would guess sooner or later, these buried bones will come out. I mean,
yes.
As you age, I know myself. I think about things now. That happened to me in my life, and it's mostly good, some bad. But I can imagine that veteran that has suppressed that.
Oh yeah,
his whole life, it will surface.
Well, things
in some way, and you've got to be prepared for that as a helpmate.
Well, things have changed a lot with the Vietnam veterans, because now they're getting thanked.
Yes.
They're getting appreciated, you know, and that's one of the things that with a story that I was told, one of the veterans was taken to the NASCAR race. Well, you have all the fans. It's a red carpet. All the fans are there clapping, wanting to shake their hand, saying
imagine?
Thank you. He couldn't finish walking down the red carpet.
That's wonderful.
He backed off, went around the corner, And he was in tears saying, I'm not used to this. I didn't get this.
No, for his whole life, he's.
Exactly. Well, he opened up.
Yes.
After that.
Yes.
And that's what we need to do. We need to sit there and actually embrace all the veterans and say, hey, we love you. We appreciate you. What can we do for you?
So your main job is to get try to reach however you can do it to get that veteran to open up.
Yes.
In some way.
Some way.
And then it's it just gushes out for the most part.
Exactly.
You're doing noble work, I will tell you. That is an important friend. We got a few minutes left. Let's make sure our audience. We got a little more. I'm not closing right now. But let's make sure our audience, because probably there's somebody. Let's say they've got somebody they want to refer, or how can they get in touch with you or your organization, or what is the main way for them to become involved?
You sit there and you look up your local American Legion post.
Okay.
You can find out who the commander is, the chaplain. I've got a Bray Racing Facebook page that they can actually, if they're wanting more information on how to know more about the Be the One and how to talk to, a family member that's a veteran or whatever, they can reach out to me. I can guide them in the right direction for sure. I'm not a counselor. But
you can be the gate, the go-between.
Exactly. I consider and point them in a direction or where they need to go to get them that help. But there's a lot of times where we don't have that time. Have to be able to talk to that veteran if we're called upon.
Yeah, you got a hot wire. I mean, there's no time out, come back in a little while.
No. Hey, hang on. Let me find a number. No, that's not it.
No. As we're talking, we have I go back to my experience in Clarksville first. Well, my grandparents and granddad. But we have a strong American Legion and veterans group, and not only here but Tennessee the American Legion is there on Spring Street.
That's the Veterans Building.
Veterans Building.
So that building belongs to all Putnam County veterans.
That's right.
Yeah. So we have multiple veteran organizations that meet in there. So there's a
you've got active groups and active
absolutely.
People. So we're fortunate that it's important. It's important. It's top of mind. Our Veterans Day and all the things that we do.
Absolutely.
Is very important. We've got about a minute left. Anything you want to share? We're very impressed with you and your role and what your group does, because it's so important. So important.
Yeah, I mean, we get definitely big support from the county mayor, the city mayor.
Yes, Randy Porter.
Eddie Ferris is the sheriff.
Eddie Ferris is wonderful.
And Ed Butler from, So from there, it's just, just going out and, help support the veteran organizations, and we're there to help the community as well. It's just not just about us. It's about community, family. So
yeah, I think the thing I come with, just be aware. Be aware and listen, and we're all important in this process.
Absolutely.
But Ed, thank you again. God bless you and what you do. George Hofford, see you soon.